WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively having some fun here during the holidays. I have stopped letting myself play for a couple of weeks here as we get through the holidays and into the new year and see what the Ravens are going to do. But the Maryland Lottery and our Crab Cake Tour, we're going to have it back out on the road. We're going to be at Nacho Mama's to start things, and then we're sort of meandering in a lot of directions, including hopefully 31 Crab Cakes in 31 days for our 31st year. We just celebrated 30 years here of talking sports and doing stuff. And these are the fun segments. So, I mean, I do a lot of stuff, talk to a lot of people, but the most fun is when I get to stalk someone and say, please come on my show because I follow you, even though you don't know that I follow you, and I watch from afar cool stuff. Because anything that has to do with Baltimore, this has got all of my loves in it. It's got Baltimore and food and drink and food and Baltimore. So I want to welcome Simone Phillips on. It is a pleasure to know you, and I see your food all over town.
Yes. Well, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here talking about food in Baltimore, like my favorite thing. So I'm excited.
Well, we're taping this, like, I was going to have you on before Christmas, and I thought after Christmas, because I put pictures of some of the stuff I eat up, and I plug my sponsors, and then I give free plugs to anything that's great that I felt like from you or other people like you or Google or whatever. Anyone with me gets a free plug. And honestly, since the plague started, if you make a great pizza like Verde, I'm going to invite Ed on and just say, come on here, tell me about your pizza and your Neapolitan and how you're doing things. I've taken the Crab Cake Tour out and done stuff. But I'm so inspired by, I've been doing this for 30 years with restaurateurs, serving everything from crabs in a pot to a hot dog on a roll to, you know, a hamburger in the window and beer, lots of beer, you know, through all of it. But food has become like cool, and there's a space, certainly locally, for someone like you to just go around town and be our little guy Fietti. And I hope you're taking that in the right sense of the word.
Yes. Anthony Bourdain, Guy Fieri, whatever you want to call.
You know what? Go with a Bourdain. That's good. Yes, a little more refined taste, you know.
A little bit more refined.
Tell, for my audience, and even for your audience, because I think there's a lot of people like me that just see you and people share things and whatever, and I'm obviously out eating crab cakes, so our paths and people that follow you have been following me, and like I've been in town a long time. Give me your background. I mean, I'd love to, like, well, how did this all start for you?
Yeah, so I started Charm City Table about 5 years ago, I guess May of 2017. And that's when I first, like a little bit before that, I just started discovering the Baltimore food scene. I mean, I love crab cakes, but outside of crab cakes. So I knew we had crab cakes down.
Now, where are you from? Give me your background.
I'm from here.
I've lived
in Baltimore.
What part of town?
I grew up in the Woodlawn area.
So okay, Baltimore, all right, so West Baltimore. Okay, yeah. Nice. Well, it's what you get exposed to. I grew up in Dundalk where, like, even eating a crab cake, there's an east side of Baltimore thing with, like, Old Bay and seasoning that's just different than the way it's served in other places. And
I think, yes, that's very true.
I grew up in a house with – my mother was born in 1919 in Abbeville, South Carolina. My father was born in Elmira, New York, but grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania in 1919 now. So, I mean, they're taking – made their way onto my table, and my dad starved during the Depression, like all of that, about what begins your palate when you're a kid. And then I'm 53 now. I mean, there's so many things I never ate when I was young and certainly had no exposure to things that in the modern era, younger people think sushi's just stuff you get, tacos.
Yes,
there were no tacos in Dundalk in 1980.
My six-year-old niece eats sushi and sushi burritos. I didn't have sushi till I was probably 20 years old.
Like, right. And the first time you're like, that's raw fish. I ain't eating that, you know, right?
Exactly.
So I do think it's interesting where people are from and even, you know, like where their parents took them or what their...
We're very Baltimore, you know, tried and true. Like I grew up in Woodlawn. Both of my parents are from West Baltimore, like the city. They grew up, they're 10 years apart, but they literally grew up like a couple blocks away from each other. Like geographic wise. So
well, we are a city of neighborhoods. Anyone that comes from the outside, they're like, man, you people all talk about your high school and like where the hall, and I'm wearing green for Dundalk and like all of that. So 2017, are you chef or just a foodie or like what were you in 2016?
I'd gone to college in Richmond, Virginia, and broke college student, but I really liked, I discovered that I liked going out to restaurants, trying new things. And I came back here and kind of tried to echo the same thing. Just go to different restaurants, see what they had on their happy hour menu, because happy hour, you have your entry level job and you get to try food and drinks on the cheap. So I was working in Harbor East, and that was like a good hot spot because Harbor East was just building up. This is like 10 years ago now, but Harbor East was going up. You have Fells Point that had like over 100 bars and restaurants. So I just started going and I saw these places are really good. The food's really great. The service is fun. Like Baltimore's just one of those really friendly, like hometown places. So when I started going out and discovering like we had sushi and we had, fine dining and we had all these places, I just started taking pictures of it, I guess, to show my family and to post on like my personal Instagram. And then I thought, I have 200 pictures at this point because I'm going out I would try to go out at least once or twice a week. So I guess fast forward 2 years, like from then to 2017, I decided to like put them all in one place. So I kind of just brainstormed names and then I got started. I think one of my first places was like the grits. They had like a build your own grits at Waterfront Hotel. And then crab cakes.
That's at least something I want to be involved. I want to dive in to build your own grits.
it was build your own grits. And that was mind blowing for me at the time. And then like that same day I posted Coco's crab cakes because I had recently tried those for the very first time back then. And so crab cakes and grits were like my first two posts. And I kind of just stuck with it from there, just 5 years later, you're still going for it.
Well, I don't know what it's look, Guy Fieri's so far into this that he's got production crews. And I remember when friends of mine here in town, whether it was Chaps, had a chance to, be featured on one of the shows. And, my friend at R&R Taqueria, he's been on. So like I see places and, look, I had Guy Fieri on 20 years ago, right? Or 18, mm-hmm. whenever it was. You can check that out on YouTube. We were together at a Super Bowl. And he goes out and does all this. But on the local level, I think from me growing up in Dundalk and saying, have you ever had a Captain Harvey sub? If you were from Overly, you might not. If you're from Woodlawn, maybe not. And maybe I hadn't been to Sorrento. I don't know. Places that would be on the other side of town. Yep. And the world's gotten smaller, but certainly for me over 30 years, anybody that knows me, whether I was sitting eating wings at Hooters 30 years ago or crabs at the barn, there's always food involved. I've always had dinner shows. And Roost Chris, I've done business and just all over town, sitting down over a meal. So this crab cake tour thing's not like far-fetched for me, but it really is inspired by people like you and anyone that's out supporting local businesses, right? So people would say, well, why is Nasty Nestor talking about food or having Simone or talking about local places? Hey, man, we lost sports. Businesses were going out. Places needed to be supported. I have 168 hours a week of bandwidth on AM radio, but also just 100,000 people to follow what I do. And I thought, let's start talking about food. And then that sort of inspired the Crab Cake Tour, which is really just a great way for me to come in and try all the appetizers when they have the fried green tomatoes and the pozole soup at at El Guapo, or I'm at Nacho Mama's eating the quesadillas or doing what I'm doing. But I think it's open to conversation about other things. And I think that's where the Bourdain thing and it sounds like you probably were a Bourdain watcher. I was as well. I've traveled the world and see the world in sort of that scope of when I'm in Vietnam, where am I going to get the best food? Right. But I think on a Baltimore level, people look to people like you when they come here and say, hey man, Simone's sending me over there for the nachos, they better be good,
and I think that's a good point you make, because yes, we we always celebrated, had meetings, conversations over food, but during the pandemic when everything kind of shut down and restaurants were doing carry out or had some model where you got some surprise box or whatever, they were adapting to just the life that was locked down, food became more of a hobby. Like people would try the new taco box over at, I don't know, Nacho Mama's or El Buffalo. People wanted to try, you know, this crab cake here and there. So it kind of became a social activity. You get your takeout, you eat it in your car at home, and you kind of review it or, you know, share it. So that was kind of, I think Charm City Table specifically had a big growth period during, you know, lockdown when like all the other hobbies were on pause. It just kind of grew and kind of turned into a community, especially on Twitter, you know, those social platforms that are hyper interactive. People just became, you know, really into the food scene here. And that was really exciting to see because, you know, I've thought it was a great food scene for a long time. And now you see it's kind of in its, you know, renaissance, so to speak.
Well, you know, I'm Wise Market sponsored. So like at the beginning of the plague, I'm like masked up, you know, all Purell'd out, rolling around looking for toilet paper, like all that. The stuff that was missing was like flour. And here's another thing. You could not find red cooking wine, like, you know, not like dumping Chianti, like all the stuff that makes good stuff and baking stuff. The baking stuff was yeast. You couldn't make dough rise,
no,
you know.
You couldn't find anything for baking. And you know what I had trouble finding? I had trouble finding duck fat. I thought that was weird. Like duck fat, I could not find in stores, but
it's a plague. I need truffle fries. Yeah. Simone Phillips is our guest. So what is it? What would I call what you do? A blog, an Instagram? I mean, they still call me a radio guy. Some people call me a podcaster. You know, what is Charm City Table?
Yeah, I always call Charm City Table a Baltimore food blog. But I also consider like myself a foodie, you know, so to speak, you know, if usually, and that's kind of the term that that people have kind of put on me, you know, oh, that's a foodie. Oh, she's a foodie. They'll see like my food light and my cell phone, like recording and taking pictures of like, we have a foodie.
See, like foodie to me, and this is no disrespect to Cindy, but it means like Charleston, you know, like foodie to me could mean I'll eat Jamaican carry out anywhere I am to try it, to see if it's good in Nashville, yeah. Detroit, if I get a tip on it. I don't need to eat at Michelin, you know, I have, and it's cool. And sometimes it just feels like a $200, $300 meal isn't where my head is. My head's always into, even when I'm in Paris, just like getting something small and like $5 here, $12 there, $15. Like the best things in life to me are under $20 to some degree, but there's a market for everything. And I love fine dining, but I think foodie sort of means more of that than Guy Fieri to some degree.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, foodie, just thinking about what I see online and just conversations that I have, it's folks, and it could be anybody, but it's folks who are willing to try, you know, anything. Anything is.
I've had Simran on the show. I'm not eating fish eyeballs. I'm not doing any of that.
But it's like you see a new food, you see an exciting restaurant concept, you want to try it. So, like by definition, anyone who follows Charm City Table or any other food blog and you know goes and buys the food and tries it is a foodie. But I think, you know, that's, like I said, that's kind of a term people kind of put on food bloggers, you know, people who take pictures and talk about food on a platform. That's kind of what we're being called now. But I do call myself like Baltimore food blogger. You'll see it like plastered all over my social media sites. So.
Yeah, I was in San Diego back when I was a young man in my teens and my aunt lived out there and it had fish tacos. And that just sounded like the strangest the tacos were kind of new and the Taco Bell on Eastern Avenue was brand new. The only Hispanic people here were me and my parents, you know, in 1980, you know, and I talk that kid, Rafael Alvarez, cause you know, anybody with a Hispanic name, it was like, there were like 10 of us then. Now I go to Highland Town, which, you know, I grew up in Highland Town, Hausner's, the strawberry pie. Like I can roll old school about Matthew's Pizza and, you know, Riviera's Pizza and Alona's and old Greek Town. And I have the painting on my wall of Rio de Janeiro that hung on the wall in Rio Lispo for 20 years. I mean, I've always loved eating and eating different things because my family was Hispanic, Venezuelan. So we, you know, on the weekends, Venezuelan family would get together and drink all night and make steaks on the grill, and everything was beans and rice and you know, arepas and platano and you know, things that you get now at Chicken Rico. And just go to Chicken Rico in Highland Town and just smell it. And that's my family, because they were, my family's South American. But so I grew up with these things, but for me at this point in my life, and I've traveled all over the world, I had Chinese food when I was a kid at the White Rice Tavern and Char Chow. We had places in East Baltimore where we could get Chinese food that you would, you know, chicken and broccoli and egg rolls and those sorts of things. But Asian food, ramen, pho, just incredible. I mean, I went to Pho Beck the other day and rolled out just some pho and some Trang's fried rice that they do over there. Ekubin doing some of the greatest just foods that you had to go to New York or know someone in San Francisco 30 years ago. And thank you, Julio Bermejo. I love you. And you have to know people to expand your palate to know what dim sum is. And maybe that's being in D.C. or being in New York. But I think the availability now of Hawaiian food, poke, just so many things that 20 years ago you'd see in Amsterdam and you'd be like, oh, they put mayonnaise on French fries or whatever that thing would be, an aioli.
Like, what's that?
Now they serve it in a basket.
And that one day.
And then we talk about truffle fries or whatever. It really is amazing how things you had to go to New York or go places that are so available now to people like you and shareable locally.
That is so true. And on the cheap in comparison to places like New York. I always like tell people who are in, you know, the DMV area, you know, in between like DC and Baltimore, I'm like, you can probably get a lot of these foods you're finding in DC at these expensive restaurants for Baltimore at the, you know, at an affordable rate, and it's delicious, and there's more than one option. So I really love that about Baltimore, just the diversity of the types of food you can get at this point, which definitely was not the case when I was a kid. Like it was just, you know, we just didn't have that array of different foods to try. Like you said, it was kind of New York or bust. But now we have it, and now we have, you know, a lot of places at just like a great price point to where you can try a little bit of everything without breaking the bank. So I really love that about Baltimore's food scene.
Simone Phillips is here. She is a long anticipated guest. I'm glad I waited a long time to ask you onto the show. I didn't like doing football season. I kind of like, if I asked you out for a crab cake, you'd think it might be a date. Then you'd look online and say, oh, he's at Coco's with the mayor. I'm coming out, you know? So I've been all over the place. Right.
Well, and you sent me some links. I wouldn't have thought it was too weird.
No, you know, but it is the internet. Right. So I'll just say this. I definitely want to have a crab cake with you. I want to have a meal with you. I want to do something sort of wacky with you. Yeah. One day, go someplace that I've always wanted to go that I've never been. There's a handful of them. Like I had never been to Honey Pig. My son and his wife and I had Hall & Oates tickets. We went to see Hall & Oates. We're having a great time. It was like 10:30. We're leaving. And literally I'm like, we're out this way. It's late. Come on. And everybody's like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm the old fart. I'm the old one here. We're going to Honey Pig at 1 a.m. and you're going to drink soju and I'm going to drive you home. So, you know, I had to be parental. He's 37 now, my kid, you know. So I had to get uppity with him. But I'm thinking about, and we took great pictures and it was spur of the moment. You know what I mean? It was completely.
Did you all love Honey Pig? Because I like Honey Pig.
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah, it was fantastic. Did it, but it was late at night. It was it was completely unanticipated. There was no plan at all. And I'm a crappy planner. I'm a crappy reservationer. I don't know what the hell I want to eat or what I want to eat or what night I want to go there. When I make plans with friends, I will make a reservation and like do it up. But our favorite nights, my wife and our favorite nights living in the city the last 18 years, and we're going to miss living downtown, is we would just like start walking. And we would wind up in Highland Town, or we would wind up in Butcher's Hill, or we would wind up in Canton, or we would wind up in Fed Hill, or even below Fed Hill. Like, and we would just be like, oh, new taco place. Let's pop in there. Check that place out. Let's get one there. And the amount of Hispanic places on the east side of town where you can try a taco, El Pastor.
Yeah, Eastern Avenue.
Yeah, in that range, you have 40 places that just one taco, grab it, move. 3 weeks from now, another one over there. If you like a sauce, if you like it prepared a certain way. And that's just one food idea. I said, wear my El Guapo shirt in Catonsville where I had great food last night, amazing carnitas. But we eat every day, and I sort of – Honey Pig I knew about for years and I didn't go to, and it is a destination thing for me, and I love bingsu. Bingsu, do you know about bingsu? The Korean ice? Have you had this before?
Yes, the drinks.
No, not boba tea. No. Oh, see, now I'm going to have fun with you. Saru, Juk and Saru story, J-U-K and Saru, S-I-R-O-O story. It's at Baltimore National Pike, out the Howard County, right on the border of Baltimore County. I think it might be in Howard County, by a mile or one way or the other. Wonderful Korean place. But bingsu is something I saw Andrew Zimmern eat. This is one of my great food tips for people that ever go to New York if you want it legitimately. But this place is legit. It took me a long time to find it. It's Korean shave ice that's creamy and prepared and sort of in a melt in your mouth velvety. It's not quite like ice cream. It's not
like a fruit topping or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I saw the place called Grace Street in New York, which is right around the corner from Madison Square Garden. It's right in Koreatown, about 30, right down the street from the Macy's where the parade, right on Broadway. So, and there's a lot of great Korean barbecue places to eat in New York. I went there and had it, and then I've been to Seoul, and I sort of stalk it out when I'm in Los Angeles or San Francisco as sort of a dessert fun thing to do. But I found that here in Baltimore, you found a Shanghai dumpling on the west side of town that you featured last week.
Yep.
And that's what got you on the show this week. When I saw that, I'm like, all right, this is it. She's got soup dumplings. She's got to be on the show. Now, you've eaten that one, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I eat all the food that I post and share. So definitely. It was delicious. I mean, I haven't found soup dumplings. Someone told me there's a place in Timonium. But I've been looking for a while now, and just Rockville has been the closest place that I could find them.
And I had crappy ones in DC, and like I tried a few places, and like down by the hockey rink, because you know that's sort of a Chinatown kind of deal where you might find something decent. I've never found anything decent. Yeah. I've got a few places in New York. I mean, I got some legitimate, you know, places in New York where it's my destination. When I go to New York now, if I'm going up for anything, I get on the train. A lot of times I walk because my wife and I are walkers. I mean, we just kind of like walk everywhere.
Yeah.
We'll stay in the 30s and then walk down to Chinatown through Little Italy, down 14th Street. The weather's good. And the first thing I eat are soup dumplings in New York. So if I'm going to this place. I have not found a decent soup dumpling here. You'll get a statue on the show, Simone, if this is legit.
Yes, let me know what you think. I think soup dumpling, pho and soup dumplings are both things we tried in Chinatown in New York. My sister and I, when we go there, like we'll just try a new spot in Chinatown. Those are the first times we tried it. It was up in New York. So finding them here, I mean, Catonsville, like you said, Ellicott City, Baltimore National Park has a ton of pho places now. The city does too. But soup dumplings is still pretty hard to find. So I was really excited to find that spot. And they were good. It was friendly. Big space, too. Like, I think they're closing down dining now. But if, you know, when things open back up, they're dining. Very spacious. So I was excited to find that spot.
Simone Phillips is our guest. She talks about food, writes about food, and shows lots of food that makes me hungry at all. It makes me feel like people say, man, how do you – I got on the scale the other day, even holidays, and I'm like – because I gained like 12 pounds on the crab cake tour. I mean, I did 42 crab cakes in 30 days back in August all over the state, went everywhere. 42, yeah.
Wow.
Some days were double. Some days were like I was in Southern Maryland. I'm like, I'm going to have lunch there and dinner there. And I got a crab cake everywhere I went, legit. Most of the places I just said, how do you serve it, broil or every place had tartar sauce. And I'm like, and Dundalk would serve it with mustard. I mean, I got Fadley's crab cakes the other day. They came with mustard. Yeah, I mean, like they
a lot of mustard and crackers.
And yeah, I mean, like know? I had them for Christmas, and Fadley's is my dear sponsor, and Bruce Zimmerman from the Orioles was stuffing boxes there the other day, and my friends at Costas were shipping crab cakes. I was there too. I eat at all my sponsor places. I mean, El Guapo I hadn't been to because I was too busy at State Fair and the Beaumont, and now I'm sort of in love with El Guapo. I had the carne asada last night. It was delicious. Watching the Redskins, the Washington football team lose was even more delicious at the same time. But for my palate, I'm going to ask you a question that, like, if anybody asked me, I'd be like, yeah. Are you nuts asking me that question? What do you consider your palate? Like, what have you eaten the most of in your life? Pizza, chicken, the vegetables, salads, the empanadas. I don't know. Like, I don't know how I would answer that because, like, I have a love affair with food. I like steak. Yeah. I like pork. I like crabs. I like veggie dishes. Yeah. I like pasta. God, I love Italian food, right? Yeah. So I don't know how. But what makes you decide what you're doing other than, oh, I heard about this spa place. I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah, I'm definitely a person of variety, like probably like you. So I love trying new stuff. You can just, you know, you can really hook me on the premise that this is like a new, you know, hot spot or whatever. I think I lean more towards seafood. I guess it's just the Maryland in me. You know, if you have a good seafood spot, crab, shrimp, whatever, I'm definitely trying it. Also, these days, and by these days, I mean probably the last 2 years, I've been leaning more into like spicy food. So any sort of like, you know, whatever variety, you know, Asian, you know, Mexican, whatever, if it's leans on.
But not off the edge. Ghosty or you really like it heated?
Like really, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, see, I have to be careful with you. I have to be really, yes. You know, you should come up with something that has an X rating for somebody like me that like can't go so jalapeno, can't go so Cajun-y hot. Like I can go to a 3 or 4, but it's just, it's not good for my internal organs. It doesn't make, I just don't feel good after I eat something too spicy.
Oh, it feels great. I mean, just the heat. I don't know what it is. Like over the last couple of years, I went to the Baltimore Farmers Market. Like obviously it's finished up the Sunday.
By the way, one of my favorite things to do, living downtown, Don Moeller gave me a goodbye piece last week for my 30 years. And he asked me one of my favorite things to do. My wife and I have been to the downtown farmers more than we've done any other activity of any kind. We have been to the Baltimore Farmers Market on Sunday morning since we've lived here 18 years. I would venture to say no less than 20 times a year, sometimes 30 to 40 times
it's
a year.
It's great. Honestly, it is. It's so the much best. Fun. It really is. You get your veggies, you get, you know, food to go, you know, you can get your breakfast, lunch.
That's like, what I should do is walk around the farmers market with you, man. That just see what you're into. Fun.
Yep, just pick up.
There's so many things there I see that I've never tried that I walk by. Like that whole smoke section up on the corner where the breads are. We tend to get the same things. There's a woman there that makes muffins. She makes Morning Glory, Nantucket muffins, and cookies.
Ooh.
And they are the best thing in the city. There's also a Euro bakery. Speaking of traveling, Simone, and how much I love traveling and feel like you really need to go to Paris to experience French things. And it's hard. You can recreate some of it in New York. I haven't found anything in D.C. I haven't. That's anything like Paris. And certainly nothing at like, you know, Paris and Las Vegas, you know, not something about the water, like maybe, I don't know, but,
pizza. Yeah.
But when I find a European bakery, there's a European bakery in the corner by the Pit Beef stand across from the mushroom stand. That's also amazing. I had my wife, use a recipe from it's a exotic mushroom dish that I had with polenta out in Arizona 25 years ago that is now out of business, but we have the recipe and my wife has bought the mushroom melange there and made it. But that Euro bakery farmer's market,
that bakery is good.
I could go on and on about the farmer's market and you could too, but I mean, that's a great thing to do.
Yes, it is. It's literally one of my favorites. Now, what were we talking about
before
the farmer's market?
Spicy.
Yes. Carolina Reaper peppers. That's what I was talking about. Yeah. They had these super hot peppers. And I was like, I'm just, you know, I'm feeling spices these days. Let's go ahead and try it. And we brought them home and we made a hot sauce. And I think that week I just had, you know, just shaking Carolina Reaper hot sauce and everything. And everyone was like, are you crazy? But I don't know. I just think I've just gotten this crazy spice tolerance, which is weird. Because when I was a kid, I mean, you know, maybe a Crystal hot sauce or something that was more than enough. You know, that was like hot, hot. And now I just, this crazy tolerance has just come over me in the last couple of years. But yeah, like if there's a spicy food, I think I lean towards that and seafood. I think those are the best ways to kind of describe where my palate is right now. But it honestly does change. You know, sometimes I'll be into like very delicate, you know, flavors, breads and things like that. So it really just kind of depends on what I'm feeling at the time. But I think right now or forever it will be seafood. And then right now, just that spicy Cajun, give me a good kick sort of plate.
How often do you try to like try new places? Because I mean, you're doing this on your own budget. You're just like out. It's on your own palate. I mean, and then you have your favorites. You have the places you love that you want to go and eat things you already eat.
Yes. It depends. You know, if honestly, because I always try and, you know, folks see this and I think the best compliment I always get is that I'm very good at finding and seeking out like hidden gems in Baltimore, places that are not popularized, haven't paid for advertisement, and they're just, you know, relying on word of mouth. I love finding a good hidden gem. But now, you know, I've been running this, like I said, for almost 5 years. I get a lot of invites to try different restaurants and, you know, comp meals and things like that. So if I took every invite that I got, I'd probably be eating out 5 times a week. You know, I'd be eating out very frequently. But I try to keep it to three or four. You know, sometimes I can fill up a week with it, but it just really depends. So I'm eating out quite a lot. This week, I like just thinking about the places. I probably have like 6 or 7 places that I have scheduled to try. And it really could go on like that. Like it's just being about like a Baltimore foodie. There's always a place, you know, that's has popped up, like always a new spot, always a spot that has revamped their menu. Then of course you have your places. Like I have my places that I have been wanting to try for a while that I want to plan to get to. So yeah, I would say 3 or 4 times a week on a regular basis. And then like it could get up to 5 or like every single day of the week, I'd have some place to eat in Baltimore.
It's crazy for me that I have so many sponsors that have been like so good to me, and I play their ads and I talk about and I eat in their places. Then there are like so many places that I've never thought about saying, could they be a sponsor? I just eat there. I just stop in, check it out, try it. There's a unbelievable a barbecue place called Woodrow's. There's another barbecue place just popped up at Heritage that I went over there, Smokehouse.
El Guapo. I have to head out and try.
Oh my God. El Guapo's fantastic. And a couple weeks ago, I had him on the show and he owns 3 restaurants. He was part of Portales that got wiped out in the flood. I mean, unbelievable story in Ellicott City you know, a real restauranteur, you know, and I love Latin food. I mean, it's my heritage. It's what I love. Yeah. And I just never been in because of the plague, right? It's kind of, you want to sit down, you want to have a margarita, right? And things open up a little bit more. So anyway, there's a plug-o for El Guapo. You know, Simone Phillips is here. Tell everybody the best places to find you and the best way to get in touch with you. And I hope we have a crab cake at some point in 2022.
Yes, we have to have a crab cake.
I would love
definitely.
That.
Definitely. You can find me on Twitter. Twitter is one of my faves. Charm City Table on Twitter and Charm City Table on Instagram. I also have a website which has a great Baltimore restaurant map that I always recommend people check out. It's a map and you can, you know, find places in your area. There's different restaurants I've tried, links to reviews that I've posted on Instagram and Twitter. So charmcitytable.com and then Charm City Table on Instagram and Twitter.
You're going to have a little special symbol. That's your, like your little table symbol with something like code red on it when you're recommending things that might be too spicy for me. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Just like an NC-17 spicy thing. You know what I mean?
No, I need a spice rating. You know, I try not to post my height. Like I'll tell people when it's spicy, but I try not to like share my hyper, like I just drown this thing in hot sauce. Usually I just give it, you know, share it how it is, or I'll tell people, oh, I got this extra spicy, but you can get it like that. Cause that's usually what I'm doing. I'm usually upping the spice at places as opposed to them automatically serving something like that. It would be insane.
Well, we're going to dine at some point. Simone Phillips joining us here. Please do go follow her out on the interwebs for great advice. And, you know, here's the problem now. If these soup dumplings are no good, I'm going to hold you responsible. That's one of the problems, you know.
You know, it's our one and only spot right now. So, you know, you got to give them, I wouldn't say they're the best I've had, but they're solid. I think you'd enjoy them.
So like, I've been sending people to Pizza John's in Essex for 25 years, right? And, like, a nice Woodlawn girl comes all the way to the other side of the city, all the way to Essex for pizza. You know, it better be special. And then I'm held responsible if it's not. So, right? Well, you know, they get mad at me. They don't get mad at Pizza John's. But luckily for me, I know Pizza John's going to be great. You've been to Pizza John's?
I have been to Pizza John's. Right. I love it. Yeah.
All right. See, you know, she's got followers even on the east side.
For recommendations that I posted, they're like, hey, I didn't like this. And I'm like, go. You have your own taste buds. That's kind of how it works.
Well, is there anything you don't like? I wanted to ask you that in the framework of the 20 questions of your life, Simone.
I wouldn't say there's anything like I just absolutely detest. I feel like if it's done right, I'll learn to like it. There was a time I didn't like polenta, but now I love polenta. Beets. I used to not like beets, but they've grown on me. I feel like I've acquired tastes along the way. With, you know, eating and drinking places for 5 years.
Man, you mentioned beets. That's exactly like if my wife and I were on the Newlywed Game. We've been married 18 years, but if we were on the Newlywed Game and she had to answer, what's a food he doesn't like and won't eat? She would say beets.
Definitely beets, yeah.
Because everywhere we go now, if it has a beet salad, it's Gucci, right? You know what I mean? So, right?
I'll do a good beet and goat cheese or beet juice now. So I've definitely acquired a taste. But before, I could not stand it. So thank you, Charm City Table, for...
I don't eat radishes either. You know, my mother passed 4 years ago. She was 98 years old when she left us. But she had all these Southern things she did, you know, back porch 1920s South Carolina things. And, you know, her food palate was very black Southern soul food, you know, like it just that's what I ate. But she ate radishes with like salt on them. And there were always radishes in my house. And like they were always a little bitter to me, even as a kid. And it's amazing vegetables, how you talk about the lettuce I would get at the farmer's market that was hydroponically grown on the Eastern Shore. Just tastes different than the lettuce that you get anywhere. It's just grown differently. So radishes are one of those things that take on the dirt or take on the taste, kind of like you get a spicier cucumber sometimes, or even celery can be really spicy if, you know, grown tomatoes have all different flavor. But I don't like radishes, and I was literally at El Guapo the other day, and I got the pozole soup, and there was radishes in, and I was eating it, and I took a picture of it and said to the wife, I'm like, I'm eating a radish. No, so I probably won't be dining on liver. I'm probably not going to be, there's a lot of like sort of on the side of lunch meat, tonguey type of stuff that is not like appealing to me in that way.
Yeah, I think things that can throw me off are usually texture wise, you know, like the, you know, I might like this particular thing, but if the texture is off, like I'll be turned off from that dish. But it's not to say I don't like that particular dish when it's done right. So I'm really not a picky eater. That's why I think this whole food blog thing really works out for me, because I will try it all. I'm not like, ooh, squid. Like I will definitely try it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with calamari, but I'm not down with pig's feet. I don't need that. I don't need, you know, I don't need cow eye. I don't need any of the weird.
Yeah, I've eaten pig's feet in my life. I've enjoyed pig's feet. Cow eye, no. But, you know, cow tongue, you know, lengua tacos, delicious. So it's, I literally cannot think of something that I'm just completely like, absolutely not.
This is what makes you you. So this is great. I'm glad we had this conversation now. The lady behind the blog at Charm City Table, thanks for coming on. It's really fun to meet you. And one day we'll go get some Korean barbecue or something. It'll be fun.
Yes. I love cake barbecue, love crab cakes. I mean, are you crab caked out from your 40-something crab cakes?
No, I'm just beginning. Here's the thing about it, and I really did think about this. Because, I mean, you have your thing, and people do their eating thing. Jerk on the internet eats pizza all over the place and spits it out or, you know, whatever. Yeah. I didn't want it to be like that. I really wanted it to be something where over the last 30 years, I did Ravens players for years back in the Ray Lewis era. And I would sit down and have crabs and crab cakes. It was part of my Monday night shtick. After the Ravens would win or lose, we would gather and eat and drink and like do all that. And I thought of it like politically during the Trump era where like people were getting, you know, I thought of it as something like bringing people together over a beer and a crab cake and a sandwich and having conversations about anything. And that's really what it's turned into in my format is it can be about anything, about business, about food or whatever.
Right.
But the crab cake part of it, and this is literally what I thought, this is from the soul, I would never run out of places to have a new one. I would never run out of places in Highlandtown and Hamden and Woodlawn and Dundalk and Towson and Bel Air, and I didn't even think about Annapolis and the Eastern Shore, and so I didn't even think about those places. That every bar, every tavern, every place, there's 50 places in Fells Point where they're proud of their crab cake.
Absolutely.
And they think they have a good crab cake. 50 just in Fells Point. So I thought if I did this once a week, I could invite people I know and love out to be guests, people I know and love that don't want to be guests, just want to have a beer and hang offset and just bullshit when it's over with and have a beer.
Right.
And I thought the restaurant would like to have me because like it's fun to have me and I bring people and fun people and celebs and real celebs. Yeah. And more than that, and feature like their fried green tomatoes or their remoulade or whatever their thing is that they do. Or their chef who, you know, came to America from Mexico 25 years ago and makes Huevos Rancheros better than anybody because it's his mother's recipe. So, you know, like I like all of that, but I felt like it was a conversation stuff. Starter, but I really felt like the crab cake, I would, and here was the key. Everybody would be proud of it. I would probably never have the same crab cake twice. Like it's such a different, delicate, every piece of crab literally tastes different. If you're getting some Chinese thing out of a can that some places in the suburbs serve softballs that are $16, that is not a Chesapeake Bay crab. And we saw crab prices go through the roof this summer.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and it just tastes different, you know? So Simone Phillips is here. Simone, I really do. I mean, I could talk all night about food, but the crab cake part is I'm not sick of it. And I've never had the same thing quite the same way twice.
Yeah, they're all done very differently. I know before the crab cake prices started spiking, I was doing a weekly crab cake review on Charm City Table. And I mean, when I was making the list, I only made it down probably 25 crab cakes, and that was just like in the Baltimore City County alone. So there's like you said, there's literally hundreds, if not a good thousand or something to try in the area alone. I don't imagine myself getting tired of crab cakes, but I know you've been on this run for a little bit. So I was like,
well, and I really haven't. And honestly, when I didn't, I hurt my back and I was really on my butt. And like for a month I didn't get out and I stopped the tour, and I went over to State Fair one night and they had a chicken Chesapeake that just hit me right with some crab on top. And I'm like, I'm ready to dive back in. And I hadn't had a piece of crab in like 3 weeks after. Uh-huh. And listen, it wasn't the crab cakes that got me fat in August. It really wasn't. It was the Greek places I was going where they wanted to hand me desserts on the way out. It was the French fries that came and the coleslaw and the rolls. And it was the fun my wife and I were having on back roads of
so
Western Maryland, finding ice cream places to eat and donut places in Hagerstown that open at 7 p.m. So I found these local places.
The gems that'll do it to you. It really is.
Yeah. You know, we had so much fun and it was cool. And listen, crab cake, soup dumplings, pizza. I'm going to do it all. Yeah. And really, really nice to have you be a part of what I do.
That's exciting.
Here.
Yeah. You have your little foodie world in itself. So that's fun.
But I can only eat three times a day. Simone, take care. Charm City Table joining us here. She's out in the world of blogging and the world of eating and reporting, really doing awesome, cool stuff and turning people on to food and certainly turning people on to local businesses, which is even cooler than that. So I appreciate that. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is going to get back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery, having the aforementioned conversations. I know I'm doing Nacho Moms. I keep saying I'm going to be a Nacho Moms. I haven't had time through the holiday to plan every single thing I'm doing. Back when it started, I thought the Ravens would be in the playoffs. So I'm struggling with all sorts of things here as we enter 2022. We'll do it with some champagne and some fun and hopefully some new friends like Simone and some crab cakes to stay, not to go. I'm all for curbsiding, but hopefully we get through this plague thing. Get vaccinated, everybody, if you're out there and begin 2022 the right way so we can get back to having fun. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking about food and fun and stuff at BaltimorePositive.com.